Would you turn with me to James, right after Hebrews? Turn with me to the book of James. And as you find that, I'm going to tell you about something that was said to me a few times in my life. When I would get unhappy about something that would happen around the house and Dad thought that I was being just a bit turned in on myself, or if it was some sort of discipline going on, he would tell me, he would just look right at me and say, you know, you can smile and just get happy about it. And I'm going to tell you, it really didn't work very well. Although it did change my outward attitude, the inside attitude was still kind of hurting. Are you with me? Do you know what I'm saying? Years ago, as a pastor, I looked out on the congregation, and I've done this a few times here, and I've got to tell you, I think I'm beginning to repent of some of this, but there are times I would look at you and I would say, are you happy? And yeah. And I said, well, tell your face about it. And I would say, you know, you can smile. You can do that. Well, I had a man come up to me that day. He had turned 90 that week. And he said, Pastor, do you know what a 90-year-old man can do? And I said, what's that? And he goes, pretty much anything he wants to if he can, because nobody's going to tell him no. But he said, let me tell you something. He said, my body inside wants to celebrate with you. He said, I've got to tell you, he said, sometimes you tell us y'all need to smile, you need to be a little more active. And he said, inside I'm trying, but he said, the outward's just not going like the innards are. He said, I may not be showing it, but he said, I'm happy inside. And he said, I'm thankful for God. I'm going to tell you that there are times in our life that we try to manifest joy you know, that we can have joy in our hearts and still have heartaches going on in our life. And I am learning that there are times that we come together, and it might even be church time, and it might be in worship, and there are people, listen, let me just put it this way. When people join together, there's somebody hurting. There's somebody that's in difficulty. And I know this, that even in our difficulty, even in our hurts, even in our pain, we're supposed to worship God. But there are just times that the joy is hard to express when there's hurt and hardship in our life. Do you agree? So I'm going to tell you, yes, if you can, smile. Always give God the credit for who he is and what he's doing. But there are times when the heartaches and the hardships are just a bit overwhelming. We've tried using that, you know, smile and show us your joy for a long time. In this letter that we're about to read from James and that was read a little earlier, James is speaking to some people who were hurting. There are some people that had some difficulties, that had some pains, and we're going to see that. So he tells them, and he tells us through this, what to do when you really don't know what to do. When you're really not feeling like celebrating, when you're really not feeling like things are going very well, when things are just rough, he says, this is what you're supposed to do. Would you stand with me in honor of reading God's word? And would you hear God's words and his instruction to you, to me, to us, when there are some hard times? He said in James chapter 5, beginning with verse 13, he says, is any among you suffering? What does he say to do? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. In other words, spiritual songs. Don't just sing the, you know, a barroom song. Don't, but sing a spiritual song. He says, is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick. And the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Folks, do you see this change, not just from the earthly and the physical, but to the spiritual here? Confess your trespasses to one another. And pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Pray with me. Lord, we've got instruction. Our problem is that a lot of times we just forget. Or Lord, we say we don't feel like praying. And yet, Lord, your word never says pray when we feel like it. It doesn't say praise when we feel like it. It just says it's do you. And we're to pray without ceasing. So, Lord, I pray this morning that we would take a lesson here from the book of James that would help us, Lord, to know what to do in those times we really don't know what to do. God, would you help us to turn our hearts to the right place and pray. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you be seated? The scripture says here, it says, is anybody among you suffering? Verse 13, he says, if you're suffering, it gives you a key that the very first thing that you're supposed to do is what? Pray. In other words, folks, personally, take your need to the Almighty God. Listen, there are times in our life when we just need help. There are times in our life that we just don't feel up to snuff. In verse 13, James addresses some of the people in the church that are hurting. He says, if anyone among you are suffering, he said, just buck up and smile, right? Like the preacher said, let your face know it. Get happy. Like my daddy told me, he said, you can just get happy about it. Listen, there are times when inside you just have a hard time getting happy about things. Amen? Because things are difficult. Things are tough. He doesn't say, if anyone's among you are suffering, just put a smile on. He said, pray. Don't lie about your circumstances. He didn't say, just put on a happy face. He said, pray. I like what he said next. Now, if you're cheerful, sing spiritual songs. Sing psalms. In other words, sing a song that gives God praise. Listen, if you're happy and you know it, let people know whom you give the praise to. Amen? I love it. I love it when I go into the store and I'm walking down an aisle and I hear somebody humming or singing a spiritual song. You know what I do? I've told you what I do. You know what I do? I join in. Somebody whistling or somebody singing, I'll start singing across the aisle, you know, over the top. He says, if you're happy, if you're cheerful, sing a spiritual song. Now, I'm going to tell you, there are some people that I have told right here, you know, you're going, preacher, that's not the exact prescription that you gave me when I told you that things weren't going well out of my life. You said that I need to turn on KSBJ or some other favorite spiritual radio station, that I need to play praise music because it'll help me. And it will. Listen, singing songs and singing spiritual songs really does help your suffering, but not as much as prayer. He said, pray first. Sing later. Pray and then sing. You know, that's really what we need to do. And I know some of you are going, you know, oh, preacher, you're always giving me the Jesus answer. That's because it works. Pray, sing. God lifts your heart. Now let's look at verse 14. If you have your Bible open, look at verse 14. He says, is anyone among you sick? Now wait a minute, isn't that what he just said? There's two different words here. He says, anyone among you sick, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. We're going to stop right there for just a moment. He says, there in verse 14, is anyone among you sick? The word that he uses for sick here literally means weak. Literally weak. Now, this does indeed mean people that are ill, people that are having physical malady. But not just that, because he's saying weak, and it's a general term saying, are you struggling? Are you weak? Including in this language are those who have grown heart sick as well as body sick. Are you with me? You ever been heart sick? Everything in the body's just fine. You don't feel good, but instead you're heart sick. Those who are weary, those who are worn out from life, those who are physically weak from illness, those who are morally weak with struggles, those who are spiritually weak without hope. Now let's go back to verse 13 again. You got your Bible open? Go back to verse 13. In verse 13, he says, is anyone among you suffering? Now let's just look at this word. He says, anybody suffering? In verse 14, he says, is anybody sick? We've already said that if anybody's sick, that he means weak. It could be physically, it could be emotionally, it could be mentally, it could be spiritually. Anybody weak? You go back to verse 13, he says, is anybody suffering? And when James talks about the suffering of afflictions, the word that he's using there literally translates worn out. I guess bodily you could be worn out and be sick. You could have illness, you could have malady, but here he mainly means those who are worn out, weary from trials, from difficulties, from hurts. So literally this is a bit repetitive, but it's from different sources. Listen, there's all different kinds of sick, amen? When our boys were young, once a year, now don't go tell the principal on us on this, but once a year we would tell them, look, sometimes you just get worn out and you get sick of school. And if your grades are up and if you haven't had any problem with missing school before and you just need one of those days off, we're going to give you a sick of school day. Now, whether you approve that or not, that's really not between you and me. That's between me and my wife. So we did that on once a year for them. And if everything was caught up. Listen, there are just times you need a mental rest too. And there are times you just need an escape and you need an out. Listen, that's why they give us personal days. You know your work does that for you. You can do that for others. But the thing is James is saying here, look, if you are weary, if you are weak, if you're discouraged, if you're sick, from whatever source, physical, emotional, spiritual, whatever your source, if you're drifting, here's your answer. Here's what you're to do. Are you ready for the answer? Have you ever had these days? Or should I say, how long has it been since you've had one of these days? The first thing he says to do is to pray. Folks, cast your hope and cast your care back on the only anchor that can keep you from drifting. The only one that can give you hope, and that's Jesus Christ. He is your hope. He is your answer. Don't quit. Don't lapse to depression. Don't roll over and say, I'm done. You have to do your part too. When you quit, how can you be helped? You know, the first thing we do when somebody needs help is they have to be willing to help themselves. Agreed? So, folks, your first part when you're in these situations is to pray. Seek the heart of God. Now, the second thing you do is found right here. The second thing you're able to do and that you should do is call the church for help. Call the church for some assistance. Now, I was hearing another pastor that was sharing a testimony about an evangelist that's on TV. And if you go to the right stations in the northern area, you can find a ministry called the Ministry of Action Jackson. Action Jackson. Now, this ministry and this televangelist, a pastor was sharing with this guy came on the air and that he was calling out, are you weary? Are you sick? Are you in need? And everybody's going, yeah, amen. He said, all you have to do is write into my program and include a really nice gift, and I'm going to send you this prayer cloth that's got anointing oil on it, and it's gonna help you. Well, the modern day understanding of this, if it's not so modern, is he's selling snake oil. You've heard that, right? Now, wait a minute. Let me just go back and look in this scripture one more time. Call Action Jackson for snake oil. Not there. Anybody else have that one in there? How can people be so deceived? Because when you're hurting, you get desperate. Am I right? When you hurt, when you have deep hurt and you're not getting an answer, you get desperate. That's how Satan deceives millions. Satan has them convinced that, well, if nothing else is working, and this guy's sharing this word from the Bible, even if he's twisting it around, they think there's nothing else that they can do but either call for this craziness or hide in their pain and their anguish and their suffering and just stay at home and suffer. At least some people are reaching out. I'm going to tell you, at least some people are reaching out, but many people are reaching out to the wrong place, to the wrong people. But a much larger group is suffering at home, and they're not being helped. They're not being loved. They're not being prayed over. And they suffer in their depression, their anger, their guilt, their shame, their lack of forgiving others, and their lack of being forgiven by others. So what are they supposed to do? How are they supposed to remedy this? Listen, there's pretty clear instruction here in James chapter 5. He says, pray. He said, call on the elders of the church. Here in James, God has given us a pathway for remedy. It is the right way to address moral need, physical need, spiritual need, weariness of all kinds. He said, go to the elders of the church. And Action Jackson is not an elder. I'm going to tell you, he's not an elder. He and his kind are not elders. Go to the elders of your church. Now, why would you go to your church? Because you know the people that are spiritual and you know the people that are pretenders. Amen? That's why you go to your church. And if you have trouble knowing who they are, ask for help. You don't always have to come to the pastor. Not everybody wants to come talk to the pastor, but they want to talk to somebody that's a little closer. And so they call on them. Listen, we can help you find those folks. That's what being a church is about. Go to the elders of your church because you know who they are. Now let me ask you, who are the elders? Are they just the old people in the church? I'm going to be 60 next month. Does that mean I'm going to be an elder? Tell me our Lord does not have a sense of humor. An elder, dear people, is somebody that you need to know who they are. An elder is first somebody who knows Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And just because somebody in the church doesn't always mean they're saved. Just because somebody is in the church and is old doesn't mean that they're an elder, doesn't mean they know the Lord. You've got to come to somebody who is literally, spiritually, and biblically mature. Somebody that is experienced with God's ways, that's a person that is an elder. Listen, I'm going to tell you, that may not describe a lot of pastors, amen? Somebody that is experienced with God's ways. If you're wondering if somebody is an elder, if you're wondering if somebody can be trusted for their spiritual counsel, ask yourself some questions. First of all, ask, do they take time to be holy? Do they walk with God consistently? Do they have praise coming their mouth for God continually? Not just part of the time. Do they always seek the good of God and His church? Or are they one of those people who find ways to complain and to push their own agenda in the church instead of that of God's agenda? Folks, just because somebody's been around a long time doesn't mean that they are an elder. An elder, though, when you find the right person who is spiritually mature and you're looking for them, they're the kind of person that can push a prayer through for you. Amen? Now you say, I thought God hears all prayers. Sure, He hears prayers. But I'm going to tell you that there are times and places that special prayers need to be put through. And I'm going to tell you that those who are practiced at it and those who know the Lord seem to be able to push them through when yours feel like they're bouncing off the ceiling. The Bible tells us that effectual prayer, fervent prayer, righteous prayer avails much. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man brings much about, the scripture tells us, right there in verse 16. So an elder is one who knows Christ. An elder is one who is spiritually mature, biblically mature, and they are in right standing with God. Because a right standing with God is what's on the inside, not on the outside. You don't tell a right standing by where somebody is standing. You tell a right standing by what's in their heart. Amen? You know that they are walking with God. It's not because of a title. Teacher, pastor, deacon, preacher, whatever it happens to be. A title doesn't make a right standing with God. A heart bent on the will of God brings a right standing with God. The condition of your heart, the condition of your mind, the condition of your spirit, the condition of your prayer life, your walk with God. Those are the things that show maturity, and those are the things that show an elder. Not necessarily old, and I'm going to tell you, neither is gender bias come into play when you're talking about elders. Men and women, those who walk with God, amen? Listen, I've known some folks that seem to be some of the most quiet people in the church, but they're the very ones that you need to go to get spiritual counsel and prayer. So when we figure out who those elders are, what are we supposed to do from there? We're to call on them to do something. What is it they're supposed to do? Look at verse 14 and 15 with me again. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him. Now listen, that's what he told us to do first, right? We're to personally bring our needs to God. And then you call on the elders of the church, and what are they to do? Pray and take your needs to God. And then there's something else. He says, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick. What kind of sick? Physically sick? Yes or no? Emotionally sick? Spiritually sick? Just sick and tired? Tired and sick? Listen, we know that there are many more times that we get sick and tired and not just sick. But it says here that we can bring our sick and tired to the elders and they can pray for us. That's what you're supposed to do. If you call on Action Jackson, you can buy a prayer rag. But if you call on the elders of the church, they're going to pray for you. They might pull out some oil. We're going to talk about that oil in a minute. You're going, preacher, are you getting Pentecostal on us? Well, if that's Pentecostal, so be it. But here's the thing. For prayer and for healing to occur, you ask for folks to pray for you that have a walk with God, that know the Lord, so that they can pray over you and to bring you to wholeness in all aspects of your life. Not just a spirit, not just a physical illness, but spiritual illness, weakness, tiredness, worn outness, if you will. Why? Why does that work? Because elders are a part of the church, and the church can heal, God says. God says the church can heal if the church is manifesting the love and the mercy and the compassion of God. Because I'm going to tell you, if you want healing, that's where it's going to come from. It's not from a man, not from a woman, but from the Lord our God. That's where healing happens. That's where healing comes from. It doesn't come from these hands. It doesn't come from these knees. It doesn't come from your hands or your knees. It comes from God, and it might be because of the prayer that you lift up to Him asking for requests. Let your requests be made known to God, He says. God is the only one who can raise you up. He's the only one that can make you whole in the midst of an evil world. And folks, we live there. Is anyone among you sick? Is anyone suffering? Any who need forgiveness, the scripture's saying here. He's saying, if you need this, there's a place to go. What do you do? I'm going to tell you, so many people go hide. They hide. They run from the church when they need it the most. They run from God's people when they need it the most, need them the most. He's saying, if you need this, go to the church. Because in a real church, you can call on some elders. In a church that's serving God, you'll find some elders. And they will gather around you, and they will pray for you. Now, let me ask you a question. Since there is such an obvious answer here, since there is such an obviously biblical answer here for healing of all kinds, why don't people do it? Why don't they call for the church when they're having difficulties and problems? Let me tell you why. Because the church is notorious for shooting its wounded. Am I wrong? Why don't people do this? Because they're worried about people we're going to say and what people are going to do. Yes, the church should absolutely confront your sin and your theological error. Amen? The church has got to do that. But they also are supposed to love you and pray for you and help you to get through your hurts. That's what the church is supposed to be about. James tells us, when you need help, call on the elders of the church. That's what you're supposed to do. Why? Because elders have something you need when you're weak. Elders have something you need when you're weary. Elders have something you need when you're sick. What do elders have? Elders have righteous prayers. Righteous prayers. We expect an elder to know how to pray, don't we? Listen, there are people that you can go to and you can say, look, if it's going to get through, I can go to them. I can go to her. I can go to him. The prayer is going to get through. Why? Because you know they know the Lord and walk with the Lord. We expect them to know how to pray. An elder should be in constant communication with God. Listen, if you want to get a message through, go to the one who's got communication lines always open, right? Listen, there are times that I try to get hold of my wife and I can't find her and I can't get her and I call and I text and I call and I text and I call and I text. So you know what I do after that? I call whoever's got Grant. Because I know that's where she's going to be. If I've got a need, I want somebody who's got communication with the highest up person that there is. Amen? And that's what an elder is supposed to be, someone who has constant communication with their Lord. An elder doesn't use prayer as a last resort. It's the first thing that happens. It's the first resort. They don't have iniquity in their life that's blocking their prayers. An elder acknowledges that it's God's power that's needed because they're praying. They're not saying, I'm healing you. They're saying, let's pray for God to heal you. You see, the scripture tells us there that the prayers of the righteous are effective. Why? Because they touch God's heart. The prayers of the righteous touch God's heart. Why do they touch God's heart? Because a righteous person's feelings, a righteous person's thoughts, and a righteous person's actions seek first and foremost to conform to the will of God and not the will of the individual they're praying for. When you seek the heart of God, well, all of a sudden you've got God's attention. How many times do we say, God, gimme, 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 gimme? Instead of saying, God, what is it that you want to happen here? You see, the prayers of the righteous are effective because God does not withhold his good from those who diligently seek him. That's his word. If you seek me with all your heart, he said, you're going to find me. Third thing about this prayers of the righteous is that the prayers of the righteous encompass the whole being. Now, I want you to hear this morning. I told you I was going to address this statement about oil and healing with oil and praying and anointing. Look at verse 14 with me again. Do you have your Bible open? Look at verse 14. It says, is anyone sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. And what does it say next? Let them what? Pray over him. First and foremost, always pray over him. And then it says, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Now, you need to understand what this anointing means. There are two different anointings in the Bible. There is an anointing that is more or less the sign of the cross. It's what David got whenever he was anointed to be king. He put the oil on his forehead and let it run down, you know, and so he was anointed. It is the more or less taking the oil and putting the sign of the cross on somebody. Is there anything wrong with that? No, it's biblical. It says that you're to anoint everything, every instrument that's going to be used by God. So the tools in the temple are to be anointed. I believe that people are the tools, the servants of God. Amen. I believe they need to be anointed. But God's word says here, he says, anointing them with oil. This is a different kind of anointing. This doesn't say to put a cross on their forehead. This anointing is literally used in this fashion. It means a massaging in of the oil. Now, you're going, wait a minute. Now, that doesn't make sense. Let me tell you, it does make sense. It means literally the medicinal value of rubbing in the medicine. So in other words, he says, is anyone among you sick? Is anyone suffering? Go to the elders, and they're going to pray for him first and foremost. And then what are they going to do? They're going to put some medicine on you. If it's cramps, they're going to get you some good old Absorbine Junior. Y'all remember that one? You're telling your age if you know that one. But you have to work it in. You have to rub it in. Listen, there is such a good picture here, is there not, of prayer? Not just for the physical, but for the spiritual as well. Prayers of the righteous encompass the whole being. They pray for the need. And then, in other words, it says that when an elder prays, then he anoints with oil, and it means to get the proper medical attention that you need. You see, that was their medicine in that day. They would rub the oil in and say, Lord, we're praying too, but God, we want to do everything we can, and this medicine is going to help you. They use their medicine in the oils. Folks, I'm going to tell you what it's saying here is that you take the medicine the doctor has prescribed you. Go to a doctor. If he says, look, you need to take this for your heart, take your heart medicine. Don't just walk around saying, I believe God's going to heal me. And you know, he might. You know, there are several different kinds of healing, and one of them is just to take you home. And perhaps you're saying, you know, and you've heard about these people that say, oh, we're not going to the doctor. And we're not going to have surgery. We just believe God's going to heal us. Ultimate healing, yes. And can and will God heal? Can God heal miraculously? Listen, you've heard it from my family. You've heard it from me, how God miraculously heals, but does he do it every time? No. Listen, there are reasons that God doesn't heal physically every time. We'll have to do that for another sermon, but understand this, that you pray for God's healing, but you do everything that you can do to help yourself along too. You've got to do that. This is to be done whether it's emotional healing or mental healing or marital healing or spiritual healing. You talk to God and you bathe it in prayer. And you get folks to rub that prayer in if need be. Listen, there are times that you just don't need a, well, God help this person and send them along. Sometimes you need to rub in the medicine. You need to spend some time with them, rubbing in the love of God, rubbing in the praise of God, even in the time of the difficulties. And you spend time with them, rubbing in the discipline and the word and the praise of the Lord. And when you rub it in, it's more effective. Whether it's the medicine for your muscles or it's the medicine for your mind, God works through prayer and rubbing it in. I love this. Listen, every time you hear that word now, you think about it. Is he talking about the cross or is he talking about rubbing it in? Figure it out. And now, you talk to God, you bathe it in prayer, you do everything you know to do, and you need to understand and you make sure that you have the need for anointing, and then you get anointing. Well, let me ask you, how do you anoint the physical? You know what that is. Take your medicine. Take the medicine the doctor is prescribing you. But how do you anoint an emotional need? How do you anoint a marital need? What do you do? How do you do that? Do you always, is it just laying hands on somebody? Listen, the scripture says that where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Folks, that's spiritual anointing. When you get the presence of God, that's the best anointing there is. You need the anointing? You pray. You seek the heart of God. This is agreeing for God. Agreeing brings the power of God. Is there anyone suffering? Is there anyone sick? Is there anyone who needs forgiveness? You need to call for the elders of the church. It's biblical. Right here, call for the elders of the church. Because the church has the ability to heal if it manifests the reality of a tender, loving, caring, merciful, compassionate God. That's where healing comes from. A God who in the very midst of an evil and difficult world can raise you up and make you whole in every way you need to be made whole. Scripture tells us there. Let me just end. He says, and the prayer of faith. He says, if you're sick, call the elders. Pray. Anoint. And the prayer of faith will save the sick. Listen to this. And the prayer of faith will save, let me just use all the connotations here. And the prayer of faith will save the sick. And the prayer of faith will save the weary. And the prayer of faith will save the weak. And the prayer of faith will save the worn out. And the sick and the sick and tired. Isn't that good to know? And the prayer of faith will save them. And the Lord, it didn't say the man, it didn't say the elder, it didn't even say the church, and the Lord will raise him up. God, listen, when God raises somebody up, they stay raised, amen? When we raise somebody up, they might just fall back on their face. But when God raises them up, they stay raised. Understand this, he says, if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Why? The confession of sins. He says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. God's word gives us a very clear direction. Our problem is we tend to want to do it our way. Will you allow God's Holy Spirit to work in your heart and life? And if you will, then you need to do what his word says to do. You having trouble? What's the first thing you need to do? Pray. You having trouble? What's the second thing you need to do? Seek the elders of the church and ask them to pray for you. They might say, hey, I know some great medicine for that. And it might be medicine, and it might be spiritual medicine. It might come out of a bottle and it might come off of somebody's knees. Listen, you probably need both. That's what God does. He helps us to heal each other. Call on the elders of the church. Pray for one another. And let me tell you this. If somebody ever asks you to pray for them, do you know what you need to do? Stop right then and pray for them. Don't just pray later. Listen, you're gonna do like I've done before. Somebody says, pray for me. Oh, I'll pray for you and see you later. And the next time you see them a week or two later, you go, oh, I told them I'd pray for them and I forgot. Has that ever happened to you? Don't raise your hand. I already know, because I would say, has anybody not done that? You raise your hand. Listen, we've all done that. That's why you pray for them right then, right there, where they are. Kroger's, Walmart, street corner, church. You pray for them right there. And then you pray for them every time that God leads your heart to pray for them. Will it make a difference? And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Will it make a difference? Pray with me. Father, we've got the direction. Now help us to be obedient. Father, there are just times that my heart doesn't feel like talking to others. There are times that my heart doesn't feel like confessing. There are times that my heart doesn't feel like being with other people. I just want to be alone. I just want to bathe in my own sorrow and swelter in my own pity. And yet, Lord, your word makes it very clear. First, I give it to you. Then I give it to my friends, my spiritual leaders, who will help me give it to you. Father, I pray that if there is even one here today who's suffering, who's just sick or sick and tired, God, I pray that you would give them a healing this morning, that your Holy Spirit would lift them up to know that you love them, that they're not alone, and that your church will be here for them. God, would you bless this family with your presence and with the presence of mind to lift them up to you.